So what is it with all the umbrellas? I started to tell you, but there's more. You might not be surprised to hear that. We just celebrated Easter last Sunday, right? So we're used to flowers and butterflies and other signs of spring. But have you ever seen so many umbrellas in one place before? Probably not in church, anyway. Maybe an umbrella store. What on earth does this have to do with Easter, or God, or faith? Well, I do want to ask you, and don't be afraid of dating yourself, do the umbrellas remind you of any songs? Ah, showers of blessings. Oh. Aha, I think I hear it. Now, if you thought to yourself, Rihanna's song called Umbrellas, which was a really big hit about 17 years ago, then you are cooler and younger than most of us. Because I'm guessing most of us, and I heard it, are thinking of this one. One such classic, most of us have heard of it, even though it was made in a movie way back in 1952. So we'll skip past Rihanna. You can see her for a second. There she is, singing Umbrella. Let's listen.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain, dancing in the rain. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You'll have to find the movie and go back and see it if you want to see the whole thing. I asked my kids in their 20s if they knew this song and story, and they said, "Yeah, but I don't remember the umbrella so much. I remember the lampstand that he dances around." Because he puts his umbrella away, I'm thinking the people passing by who had nothing but a newspaper to cover themselves were thinking, if you're not going to use that umbrella, why don't you give it to us? This is the inspiration for our Easter theme, Dare to Dance Again. And why is Gene Kelly singing and dancing in the rain? Love, of course. He's in love. And by the way, he also, in the movie, had just really become a big star as a singer. Everything, as they say for him, was coming up roses. And that might be true for a few of us right now. How wonderful it is if that's true. I know a few of you might be swept off your feet in love with a new grandchild or two. But most of us are not exactly swept up in euphoria because of young love or success or whatever. In fact, many of us are kind of worried about the state of the world, right? Global politics, climate change, wars and famine. And that's the point, actually. How can we sing and dance in the rain anyway? How can we dare to dance again, even in the midst of challenging and fearful times? That question brings us to the gospel reading today. Did you notice where the disciples were? Where were they? Back in the upper room. That's right. They were hidden up in the upper room. The door is locked. They're not out there enthusiastically sharing the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ's resurrection. They were hiding out, cowering in a locked room, afraid of someone finding them and doing to them what they had done to Jesus. They had heard the news that the tomb was empty. Mary had even told them that she had seen Christ alive. But they still didn't believe it. They were afraid to. So they hid out in that locked room, hoping nobody would find out they were there before they could get their alibis straight. Instead of the church of the joyful resurrection, it was the church of sweaty palms and timid spirit. But then into that locked room where they were cowering in fear, Jesus appeared. Peace, he said. He cut right to the point. Just as Abba sent me, I am sending you. Then he breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit and bestowing authority to them to share forgiveness with others. This is their commissioning, at least in John's gospel. When Christ gives those disciples their mission of how to carry on. We don't get a lot of detail here, but I imagine it was something of a pep talk for those cowering disciples. See for yourself, I'm alive and I have a job for you. Get out there and start sharing grace and love. But one of them was missing, right? One of them wasn't there the first time around. He was the brave one. We don't know what he was out doing, but he was out. And when the others told them that they had seen Jesus, he couldn't believe it, literally. Unless I see for myself, unless I can touch his hands myself, I'm not buying it. And you know, history has been a little hard on Thomas. But really, he was no different than the other disciples, right? They didn't believe it either until they saw with their own eyes. Seeing is believing, right? Thomas is no different than we are. We're pretty slow to believe something that sounds incredible. And even if we do see it for ourselves, we have trouble believing it. Let's be honest. For some of us, not even seeing is believing. We live in an age of illusions and retouched photographs and spectacular special effects, and now we have the deep fake pictures and videos created with artificial intelligence that looks so real, but we know is not. We're even more skeptical than poor Thomas was. The disciples were locked up in a room because they were afraid that they would suffer the same fate as Jesus. They weren't out there on the street corners announcing the good news. We have also heard the news of Easter, that the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, right? But maybe we're not really sure if we believe all this stuff about Jesus when push comes to shove. It's one thing to trust in the teachings of Jesus, but it's hard to wrap our modern and postmodern minds around bodily resurrection. Now, some of us are blessed. We have known Jesus for a long time. Perhaps we've had a chance to see and experience for ourselves that Jesus is alive. Some of us have had a personal and powerful experience of the risen Christ. But like Thomas, many of us have not been blessed with that. We've heard about it, we want to believe it, but we haven't seen Jesus for ourselves, even metaphorically. So it's hard to believe. Either way, here we are all in our room, not always sure what to do with ourselves. The whole thing rests on what they say happened over 2,000 years ago to a wandering teacher who wound up coughing his life out on top of a hill that was really a garbage heap near Jerusalem. It's a tough sell. And it's not hard to develop a tightly argued logic that the whole thing is pious fiction. The truth is, the evidence of a few emotionally unstable people about an empty tomb would never stand up in any kind of court. But as Frederick Buechner once said, it's not his absence from the empty grave that convinces us. It's his presence in our empty lives. The disciples who were hiding out in that locked room were given a great gift. They saw the risen Christ for themselves with their own eyes. They knew Jesus was alive, but Thomas wasn't there and he didn't believe it. And the next time Jesus showed up, Thomas was there and he did believe. And Jesus said, "Do you believe because you've seen me?" Well, yeah. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. That sentence is for us, folks. He was specifically addressing those who believe without meeting him in person, in flesh. We are blessed because we sing and believe Christ is risen indeed, without seeing for ourselves. We live amidst the horrifying genocide of Gaza, the ongoing war in Ukraine, relentless war on the earth itself as we continue to walk towards climate catastrophe. I know some of us are struggling with failing health or concerns for loved ones. Gene Kelly might not be able to see the storm clouds, but we sure can. It's enough to paralyze us with fear and reduce us to despair. But that's why the resurrection of Christ matters. The message of urgency for the earth needs to be accompanied by a message of agency for us. God is with us, we are not alone, and there is a lot we can do. Just like the disciples, we are afraid of many things. We're afraid that even if Christ is alive, resurrection isn't really possible for us today. In our families, or in our relationships, in our communities, our nations, our planet. Maybe we're even afraid of resurrection, of truly new lives. Resurrection takes courage and changing our lifestyles, our world economy, the way we do things, the way we live. So Christ calls us out of the tomb of fear to go out and share hope with others. It's amazing, actually. He gave those fearful, cowering disciples a really important job. Just as the Father has sent me, so I send you, he said. They had to stop hiding out, stop cowering, and get out there to share grace and love, the good news. It wasn't enough to sing songs or put daffodils on a cross. They had a greater purpose. They were given a mission. And it's the same mission that we have today. To get out of the comfortable confines of these walls, or whatever walls we are comfortable in, and to share the unbelievable good news that Christ is alive in word and deed. To set people free from sin and pain and injustice that holds them imprisoned, from guilt and shame. Friends, we are not people of the tomb. We are people of the empty tomb, of Easter. We are an Easter people. We are not people of fear. We are people of resurrection and renewed life. Christ invites us to dare to dance again. The only way others will come to believe, come to trust, and know that new life is possible is for them to see it in us. And so we need to allow God to transform us. We need to be willing to see where Christ is indeed alive, to notice, to experience the risen Christ. There's a devotional reflection journal that goes with this series that's available on your way out today if you'd like to pick up a copy. And there are so many ways for us to dance, so many ways for us to come to meet and know the presence of the risen Christ in our lives so that we can share that good news with others. So we are invited to dare to dance again, so that others might also experience resurrection and find hope. Amen.